Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Away there, lads. Welcome to the World Cup Ramble, sponsored by Bet365. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Marcus Spell. Our Luke Moore is here.
I'm no longer on the buttons.
Jim Campbell is here.
I'm never on the buttons.
And he's back. It's Pete Donaldson.
Yes, I'm back on the buttons.
Oh, all the buttons.
Is that how we're starting? That's how we're starting. You wanted it. Me
PT's
back on the buttons.
On the pod.
PT's on the pod. PT's on the pod. PT's on the pod.
I'm a shell of a man.
Who knew? Who knew that in this country the film Encino Man was California Man?
Who knew?
Little peek behind the curtain of the conversation happening just before we turned on the mics, and Pete mashed those buttons.
Mashing them.
People are missing me on the buttons already, Donaldson.
I don't think they are.
All right.
I think that...
I'm missing me on the buttons already.
You were a bit straight down the line. We needed a bit of punk rock.
That's true.
And Petey provides the punk, as he always does.
Pete's given us an injection of flavour.
You never know what I'm going to do next, but it's probably going to be unprofessional.
The Ramble stock cue, Pete Donaldson. Just injects a bit of flavour. Yeah. Yeah.
If you thought Pete was unprofessional before the bungee jump...
I did.
Yeah?
I did.
That's rattled his brain.
Well,
we thought it might help.
We start the show with Yuri Gagarin saying, Poikile. Poikile, is it? Poikile.
Yeah.
Saying, let's go, because they expected a big flowery speech from him, but he just went, let's do this!
Yeah.
And I had that rehearsed for my bungee jump. I didn't know I'd get that out.
No.
I went, oh, this is high, and then
no,
jumped.
You did. You said, let's do this. Not so triumphantly.
In my language. Yeah. I couldn't remember the Russian for it. I know that.
Oh, I see.
As I jumped off and screamed MF, F, F, yeah. MF.
A lot of
very
swear
sweary.
But yeah. You ended
Save the Children were not happy with that.
You ended up... You ended up being just happy to come out with both retinas still attached, right?
Yeah, your eyes kind of ache a little bit. They do say you can detach your retina if you jump off something.
Right.
Wow. Look at that, eh?
Yeah. Do you have your glasses on?
No, I didn't have my glasses on.
All right.
Good.
But he is ready to get stuck in.
I'm
some,
ready.
World
can
Cup
I just
chat.
Ask where you kept all your change in your phone?
Say again?
Just bothers me when people bungee jump. Did you? Obviously, you didn't keep stuff
I took
in your
everything.
Pockets.
I started the day by buying a Captain Planet toy from an old dinky toy shop, and he came along with me.
Right.
This is your fault,
so
Jim. I was ready to move on. You asked the extra question.
I rung an extra piece of gold out of
exactly.
The crazy times of Pete Donaldson.
Nobody carries change anymore, do they?
But they do carry Captain Planet dolls.
Yeah, clearly.
They do.
And that is a loose interpretation of the word gold, can I just say.
I enjoyed immensely the football ramble over the weekend. So it's
you like
nice.
It more when you're not on it.
I really do.
Yeah, you always say that.
And that's not because me being work shy or lazy. I do really enjoy this show. So to any of the people who say this football podcast isn't very good, it's very good.
Yeah.
Says
well,
me.
Listen, mate.
Says me, mate. It got me more excited about England, for crying out loud.
Listen, it's the only 5-star reviewed major football show on iTunes.
Yeah.
So people...
Empirically, the best.
If people want to give it 1 out of 5, they are welcome to do so, but they might want to have a look in the mirror and think maybe they're wrong.
Maybe they're wrong.
Maybe you belong on the fringes of society.
Let's
and
talk
iTunes
about
reviews.
The World Cup.
Let's actually do some football chat.
Okay, yeah. We're not going to talk about group ages yet. We're going to talk about group B.
Yeah.
I'm the scat man.
I haven't got that on my buttons.
I tell you something. Incredible drama right at the end.
Incredible drama throughout, by
well,
the way.
Throughout, yeah. Absolutely right. But Portugal went from group leaders to being nearly knocked out in a matter of minutes. Iran, had they have put that chance away at the end, they would have gone through as group leaders.
He was broken,
so
wasn't
he? It's mad.
There's a great shot. It was Arlo White tweeted that shot out of... You just think if his body was just rotated,
he couldn't get
10%.
He
just couldn't get his foot around it. And once again, that goal net, the deception of the goal net.
Yeah.
It's so many times this World Cup, I've thought a goal's gone in.
Because I was watching the Spain game on my TV because the sound of the Vuvuzelas was unbearable. Mm. So I watched the Portugal game on my laptop as well, and I saw that and sort of out the corner of my eye, and I thought it had gone in. And then something else happened in the Spain game, so I missed it. And for ages, I thought they'd had a goal disallowed or something like that. I was like, what is going on?
I wouldn't mind talking about this. We talk about technology, and we'll go on. We've been trying to avoid talking about VAR, obviously. Mm-hmm. But I fear that today's show might be a little more... There might be a smattering of VAR chat.
Yeah. Go on. Talk about it now.
Go on. In the words of...
you rotter.
In the words of Jason Cundy, a world where people are scared to have an opinion for fear of their safety, I will continue to give mine. Don't care what you think, deal with it, Marcus Speller. Basically, the IP streaming. So streaming over the internet compared to the television, the inherent latency of watching something over a BBC stream.
It's not even 5 minutes in, he's talking about
the inherent latency of watching something online compared to terrestrial broadcast. So we were all on the WhatsApp last night watching the late kickoffs, including the Portugal and the Iranians doing their thing. You guys were watching on television, presumably.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you had all the information before I did, because I was watching via BBC because I was at work at the same time.
Uh-huh.
So
yeah, you managed to know what was going to happen, you little fortune teller.
Well, no, but you guys were sort of experiencing it before me. So and we had the situation in the pub when we were watching the England match when I was at the Isle of Wight Festival. People were over the other side of the pub were watching it on television, but we were watching it on a stream. And so we knew what the results of every decision was, whether a penalty had gone in or not. So I think there has to be, when the percentages come to the point where, like, you know, 60% people watching online compared to 40% watching on television, television is going to have to almost defer broadcast by at least 30 seconds.
But it's nowhere near that level.
No. It's only a few seconds, really.
It can be.
The lag was quite bad yesterday. I was watching, as I say, I was watching the Spain game on TV, and I saw, I heard... that Ronaldo had a penalty save way before he'd even been fouled.
Yeah, a good couple of minutes.
I actually have worked in online video for years.
Well.
And I can tell you it can be up to... it always could be up to 90 seconds. It can be a long time.
It's interesting. Yeah. I feel we need to talk about the actual game.
No, we don't, because this is very much part of the game, Marcus.
My next question was going to be, Pete, why are you telling us this?
I'm just saying that TV broadcasters have to be in a situation, especially when you've got two games at the same time.
Very true.
And they're not broadcasting two games at the same time. They're broadcasting one online and one, you know, at different places. They have to be conscious of the fact that most people are experiencing the game 30 seconds to a minute.
But it's nowhere near most people. If you look at the stats for the England-Panama game, which was actually
listed... It will get worse, that's all I'm saying, though. It will get better.
Sure, but in the England-Panama game, it was actually reported in the newspaper today that 14.8 million people watched it on BBC One, and I think just under 2 million watched it online.
Oh, yeah, wow. but either way, that's going to improve, and most things will be broadcast over IP in the future. But also, if you've got the choice to watch it on television, of course you're going to watch it on the television.
Well, wherever you watched it, Iran were awarded a muggy little penalty.
They were.
And a lot of people were unhappy about this, at least not the Portugueses. I mean... Clear and obvious.
Yeah.
Clear and obvious.
People were worried they'd lose the drama of decisions wrong.
At least it's cleared up all the grey areas.
And
I think without disappearing down a VAR black hole, just very, very quickly, I know people will switch off.
You can't ignore it because it was...
No, exactly. And people will sometimes switch off or get annoyed if they have a different opinion to us or to me on this issue. But what I would just say as an olive branch to them is if you take just one thing from what I've said, it's that... I said very, very clearly at the start of all this that the laws of the game as they currently stand are not set up for this technology to work.
Yeah.
So we're seeing this writ large in this Iran Portugal game. I thought the game was far too big for the referee. I think the referee had a complaint filed against him by the Egyptians when he did the Russia Egypt game. He lost control of this game as well. Before we go on to the penalty that was awarded to Iran, the penalty that was awarded to Portugal, the Ronaldo challenge, he's about a metre away from that. How has he not seen that? I mean, and the answer to that, presumably, is that he is too heavily reliant on VAR. He's a referee that comes from, I think, the Paraguayan Premier League. So he's not someone who's refereeing in a major league either. I don't imagine he's used it before. He's already had his Wikipedia page amended, calling him a FIFA-listed bullshit referee. Presumably by some irate Iranian fan. But the point being that this this interpretation of the laws has always been down to the referee, and you can't bring a VAR-mandated sort of video referee into it to clear it up, especially with instances like that. And not only that, you can tell the game was too big for the referee because it's not obvious. It's not an obvious error. We were told they were only going to be used for obvious errors, and that was not an obvious error.
It's changed the course of Portugal's path now. I mean, they were up against Russia, had they have topped the group. Now they're up against Uruguay, who, as we saw, a far harder opponent.
But Iran could have put that ball in and they could have been out completely.
Well,
that is
madness. Well, absolutely. Can you imagine that?
One of the things I saw over the weekend was a situation where VAR was being used and the referee was doing something while the manager was preparing a substitution. Now, a substitution is basically he's working on the proviso that a goal's been scored or, say, a penalty has been scored or given or a player's been sent off. And what if that gets rescinded? Because the statute of limitations, as we've been told many times, is a lot longer now when it comes to decisions. So, like, the manager's kind of only working from the information he's got, which players he's got on the field, what the score is at that time. If he brings a player on and some decision gets reversed or a goal gets taken away, what happens then to that?
Jim Campbell, I put it to you. Should Cristiano Ronaldo have been sent off? Carlos Queiroz seems to think he should have done, and his profile inhibited the referee from bringing out that red card.
No, I don't think it was a sending off.
Are you serious?
I think it was definitely a sending off.
You've been serious.
He swung at a player, fucked it up, and then.
I don't think he's gone in.
He swung at a player, and he only got the elbow because he missed the punch.
He threw a punch at him in a way that he's done about six times before as a Real Madrid player and been sent off for. And the referee again was it big enough to send him off?
I don't think that's throwing a punch, is it?
Marcus.
Throwing a punch.
I have to say,
when the desperation of Luke Mark. Marcus!
I'm not desperate. I am fully in possession of my own opinion. I think that's a nailed-on red card. I'm just interested in what Marcus thinks.
I think without a doubt Ronaldo has given the referee a decision to make. And when I first saw it, I thought, that's probably a yellow card. And having watched
the
it again...
Punches.
I don't think it's a punch, though. I think it's just
Yeah, because he misses.
Little. Yeah, I suppose.
The player's running away from him, so he doesn't catch him with the punch because it's harder. But, you know, as every boxer knows, punch through the man.
If that was Cedric Suarez the day, he'd have walked.
Maybe.
With his 100%. Lovely tash.
Also, as well, if I can just go back to what you were saying about that manager making that substitution, the manager's got to wait, surely. Surely that's on the manager, not on the referee.
Well, we shall see
if that happens. But did you enjoy the Iranian fans outside the Portugal hotel, banging and singing and all the rest of
textbook
it?
Textbook old... tactic, that. Ronnie thought World Cups have existed.
Ronaldo thought, leave it to me, lads. They'll listen to me, and they didn't. No. We love you, Ronaldo. You've given the game a lot, but you're playing our boys tomorrow.
Some of them did. He came out and made a sort of sleepy gesture, didn't he? Putting his hands up to his head as if to say, well, I'm trying to sleep. And they were like, yeah, we know. That's exactly why we're here.
Do you mind? Ricardo Quaresma scored a beauty, didn't he?
Oh,
he did.
God, one of the goals of the tournament.
Lovely. The outside of the boot, we saw one from...
Russia.
From Cheryshev in the first
The commitment
game.
To never using his left foot through his entire career is an inspiration to all poor footballers everywhere.
Yeah, I know. that angle of the goal from to the right-hand side of behind the goal, you can really see the bend and the spill on that ball. It's absolutely magnificent.
And also, you know, sometimes it's tempting to deride a player for not being two-footed. I mean, we see some great two-footed players, of course. Lionel Messi isn't very two-footed, and he's still brilliant. So if he feels like he can get more of a whip or more of an angle by using the outside of the boot, why not? I just think it's funny because Quaresma always uses the outside of his right boot.
Indeed, he does. And Iran have grown into this tournament. Obviously, they're out now, and they're only going to have played three games. But considering what they did in their first game, very fortunate to get a win against Morocco, they really have done, and they were so close to topping the group for crying out loud. But of course, Morocco, I'm sorry to sound like a broken record, I am so gutted for them because I think that a lot of the chat among the pundits is they are one of, if not the best side so far to go out of the competition, especially after two games. But Harvey Renard's men gave a good account of themselves, and they were so close to beating Spain, which would have been an amazing result, really.
It was just that Iran goal that killed it. You know, it was just... sorry, not Iran. What am I talking about? It was the first game that killed them.
It was. And that was it. Had they have gone into this game, they had, for me, going into the tournament, a slight dark horse feel about them. It was that first game, as you say. But at least they came away with a point, because if they hadn't scored and they hadn't got a point, you know, the fans in Morocco would have enjoyed that, very close, as I say, to beating Spain. So they leave with their heads held high, which is a consolation, I understand.
I mean, they gave a really good account of themselves. And if you think that Portugal are 18-1 to win the whole thing, so £10 with Bet365 returns, £190 including stake. Should the European champions become world champions, Spain are 4-1 favourites.
Yeah.
So people aren't particularly perturbed that they look a little bit below par. Mm. I thought it against Iran, and I thought it against Morocco as well from what I saw. I watched the Portugal game live, but I watched the Spain and Morocco game back. I thought Spain looked ever so sluggish.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, and I think that they had that sort of life and death type game of Portugal. You score, we score, we're going to play on the break against you, and you're going to do this and you're going to do that. And Portugal aren't a team without their shortcomings. Iran and Morocco, there's no way in a million years either of them are going to win the World Cup. For all their efforts, they're not going to come that close.
Yeah. Well, they've been knocked out.
You fear... I just feel like you fear for Spain. I don't think they'll struggle against Russia.
Yeah.
No. But I think it's difficult, actually, to see them going deep because they look so sluggish and they look like they play... Dare I say it, and this may be sacrilege, and I can't imagine myself saying this 8 years ago, they look almost like they're playing a type of football which seems a bit outdated now. They're sticking to this tiki-taka thing, and either their players are a bit sluggish on occasion, or they don't really seem to have the drive or the purpose.
Well, it's the penetration, isn't it?
Yeah.
It used to be that sort of quick passing and heavy possession-based football was almost like a... They'd have another team in a vice, you know. Eventually they would just slip up and they would leave space. But Spain aren't creating that space now. What they're doing is they're just piling up on the edge of the opposition's box and not being able to get through it. So many times Diego Costa was just really sort of just kind of marked out of the game. They'd get the ball up to him and it would stick but not go any further. And it's interesting. They aren't as they don't rip teams open as much as they used to. They don't make holes, you know.
You're right. And I think if you play in that way without that penetration, without that real pace, I mean, Isco aside, I mean, David Silva's looked a little bit below par. Isco's looked great. But if you don't have that real drive and that real penetration, I think it's in danger of falling into a system of playing football, which is actually quite easy to defend against.
I think they're fortunate not to be playing Uruguay. Because Uruguay would have got at them and it would have been really interesting. I mean, Spain, they did play some wonderful football against Portugal. It was only a couple of games ago, but you're right. I wonder how much this Lopetegui thing is sort of set in. If it is that they look a little bit uninspired. I mean, even David De Gea, the great David De Gea, just looks a sort of a shadow of himself at the moment from top to bottom. Costa's scored a few goals, of course. One of them very fortunate in the second game. But you do wonder. And the mistake that Ramos and Iniesta made to gift Morocco the first goal. Okay, a lot to do.
He took it well.
He did take it very well. But it just...
it's not quite the same. But we've seen this from teams before, though, over the years, and they get it together in the knockouts. But very pleased for Morocco that, as I say, they got a point. Amrabat went close.
He did.
When he hit the bar, I would have loved him to score that. He's had a decent tournament, despite having gone out after two games. He showed his class, he showed his determination and a bit of creativity. So it was a shame for him not to score.
Again, Balague was mentioning, was obviously very close to the Spain camp, was saying that he wonders whether Fernando Hierro has the confidence to just go with other players or pick other players, because he feels like he knows a certain amount of players well, and he's not got the confidence or the experience, because he's come in so late, to maybe change it up a bit. And also, they've had a difficult situation, because technically they weren't through in the final game.
No.
So they had to really make a decision about who to rely on, who to play and who not to play.
Well, Aspas got them out of it with that lovely little flick.
Yeah, great. He looked good, actually, when he came on. I thought he was decent.
Well, a point would have been enough, but yes, they topped the group. But of course, PK could have been sent off.
I think he should have been. I think it's another situation. I know this makes me sound like some sort of mad conspiracy theorist, but honestly, I maintain that if it, with a strong referee and perhaps a different player, Ronaldo elbow, he walks for that. I think PK walks if he's not PK as well.
It's as if the decisions that are being made are there to create more penalties than sendings off.
Both of those decisions, PK and Ronaldo, were more obvious than the penalty that was given to Iran.
Absolutely.
You can't say they weren't. It's not
everything's more obvious than that.
But you mentioned Diego Costa earlier. He's now 8-1 to be top scorer with this summer. £10 with Bet365 returns, £90 including stake. Looked a little bit under the weather yesterday, didn't he? He didn't look really much like scoring, did he?
Mm. No, he didn't. Yeah. And they look very lucky. And all the rest of it. But they will play Russia, the Spanish rule, in the next round. We're going to talk about them after this.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
/UHD.
Thought you were on about milk for a minute.
That was brilliant yesterday. Ooh. Laura was brilliant yesterday.
Do you know what? I looked away from the screen when that happened. I looked up and thought, it's a red card, obviously. And then I saw it again and I thought, nah,
it's not a red,
it was retribution he took from being given a heavy challenge.
It was a little bit Beyonce for me.
Yes.
It was a bit.
Unlikely that Laura would burst out into that, but...
Is it?
Yes, incredibly.
After a couple of weeks of cabin fever at the World Cup, Laura's capable of anything.
Yeah. I think everyone's feeling it a little bit.
Yeah. Uh-huh. You've been away for 4 days.
I'm not talking about us, like, we're fresh as daisies.
Exactly.
Smolnikov.
Yes.
He was sent off.
Smolnikov.
Yeah.
Was it fair to say that was a crazy decision?
Yeah.
When you're already on the yellow.
That just to dive in at 2-0. Yes, a bump back down to earth for Russia.
Mm. Yeah.
I wonder if this, bear with me here, if this might be a blessing in disguise for Russia, in the sense that after two games, they scored, what, 8 goals was it in 2 games, and everyone suddenly went from, oh, we're crap, to, oh, we're through and we're scoring goals and this is a great time, and come on, attack, wee, and all that kind of stuff.
Tempering.
Yes, and if they, and they have Spain in the next round, and against Spain, surely they will look at the way Iran set up against them and the way Morocco played against them and try and do that. Shut off the space, try and restrict Spain from playing. Because had they have gone into the game going, oh, do you know what, though? We are the host nation, we're scoring goals. Let's go toe-to-toe with them. I think they'd get hammered. So do you see what I mean? That might just rein them back and go, all right, yeah, we
it'll
are full
stop
of
them being overconfident.
Yeah. Perhaps.
But I think it was a game where Uruguay are a better team than Russia, but I think it was a game that almost everything went wrong for them. Within 35 minutes, they were 2-0 down and had a man sent off. I mean, that doesn't happen every game.
Well, Uruguay sort of switched up a little bit, and the front lads got just a lot more service, I think, and they took a couple away.
Yeah.
That the image from that match was definitely the Russian defender. I don't know who it was.
Ignashevich.
Doing that concertina at the Uruguay at the wall.
Yeah.
Just smashing at the Uruguay players and just letting
strangely helping Uruguay.
It was
absolutely
so weird.
Mad.
I was like, oh, the keeper can have a bit more of a view. Yeah, 1 second before it goes in the net, mate.
But it's the force with which he pushes them. If Suarez misses that, that's surely a penalty.
It's 2 pounds.
Wrestling move.
You get two pens. Yeah, you should do.
I don't know what the rules are, to be honest, anymore.
Madness, isn't it? But I mean, obviously, the Uruguayan players would have kind of jumped out the way at the last second. But as you say, it was kind of like he's pushing it.
Push that.
No, I think we'll go with this.
Yeah. It was nice to see Uruguay actually wake up, wasn't it, and play the football we know they're capable of, because they just did enough in the other games. They didn't really need to get a second gear, so they didn't. And it's just looked like they were having fun a bit more.
I know. Akinfeev has come in for some criticism, though, Jim.
Yes, he has.
Oh, I think that's right.
Yet to make a save at the tournament, and he's been beaten 3 times.
He's been beaten 4 times, Marcus.
He has been beaten 4 times. Yeah. Sorry, he was beaten 3 times in the game.
Yeah,
Cheryshev scored an own goal.
Yeah, I know.
Is it all going wrong?
And then he got dragged off after someone was sent off.
Yeah, it did seem quite an unravelling, that game for Russia.
Has he now got 4 or 2 at the tournament?
I think it's sadly just 3 still. Yeah, it doesn't affect it.
I don't think individual players have goal difference.
Yeah, it should do that. It should.
Which would be quite interesting.
And Cheryshev rested Golovin, didn't he, as well?
Yeah.
He didn't feature at all. So, yeah, I do actually agree with your point about them not being overly confident, because they came into the tournament actually quite worried about the expectation on them and how poor they were perceived to be. They've qualified with a game to spare, and that now they've had a bit of a reality check in a game which I maintain everything went wrong for them. But they can reset a bit now against Russia. They'll have a pumping atmosphere at Luzhniki. Crowd will be behind them against Spain. Yeah, and. At the risk of making myself look an idiot, you wouldn't necessarily write them off against Spain, because as we said a second ago, Spain aren't without their problems, and it's going to be a home game for Russia, and the stakes will be quite high. So it will be a fascinating encounter. And the reason I say that is because I think it's very easy to look at that draw and go, oh, well, that's the end of Russia then. That's then done now. And I don't think it is as simple as that, personally.
Sure, I think we're all pleased that the host nation are into the second round for
those
reasons, because we were very worried, as they were about themselves, going into that tournament. But that's Fabio Capello's legacy, of course.
Which we know all about.
Lest we forget.
Yeah. We will never forget.
Although he will say that's just a loser's excuse, as he did on that England documentary.
While wearing a pair of Speedos.
Cavani's up and running among the goals.
That's good
nice to see.
And it clearly meant a lot to him, didn't it? He worked really, really hard, and he deserved that.
He's such a beast.
He's a beast. He's a very good player.
Gorgeous bugger. But yes, in the other game, which was the dead rubber, of course, Saudi Arabia, they've won again. I mean, considering their second and then third games in the group, you wonder why and how on earth they were so bad in that first game.
Got some, I think.
Massively, yeah. I mean, my goodness. But at least they got a win under their belts, even though it didn't really count for anything. But of course, we want to talk about Essam El Hadri in goal for Egypt at the age of 45.
It's a brilliant penalty save.
It was a superb penalty save.
The reflexes of a really old cat.
Yeah.
He began his international career in 1996.
Incredible.
Months after Gareth Southgate started his.
Well, that's great. I mean, that puts it in perspective. I think he's almost exactly the same age as Ryan Giggs.
Yeah.
Fantastic work.
Yeah. marvellous stuff. Good for Mo Salah to get another goal in the World Cup.
Although it looked like it didn't really mean much to him, didn't it?
I don't like to see Mo Salah sad.
I know,
I don't like
it's
to see
awful.
Him sad.
Well,
he wasn't on the. He apparently wasn't on the first team sheet. There's rumours that he's not having any of this, being part of the setup anymore because he's been wheeled out of some kind of state propaganda.
Yeah.
He's talking of him retiring already, isn't he?
Well, I think that's why on the team sheet when they said they'd made a mistake, and who knows, they could have just made a mistake, but. You know, it does strike me as a bit strange when you hear all that stuff outside of off the pitch, if you like, because he has very much never wanted to get involved in any kind of political or religious stuff. And of course, Egypt, highly politicized country at the moment and so on and so forth. He's often being people trying to drag him into situations. And he's always said, I am a footballer. Leave me alone and let me be a footballer. But as you say, Pete, there's been stuff going off the field and the poor man is just... thought to himself at the age of what, 26?
He's not that old. Mm.
Maybe thinking, oh, I'm done with this. Hopefully for football's sake.
I'm done with Chechnya. Mm. Yeah. I'm not going there anymore.
I don't think he was ever...
ready.
On board.
Well, he was given honorary Chechen citizenship, wasn't he?
In front of everybody. Yeah, and he was ambushed.
There was this big event held for it. And it's really, that's going to be a very uncomfortable situation for someone who just wants to get on with football.
I saw him having a underwhelming World Cup just because Egypt's had a terrible injury before the World Cup. And obviously there's a lot of pressure on him and they're quite an underwhelming team. It's almost a very different situation to the way that Portugal had to deal with Cristiano Ronaldo, like say, even 8 years ago when they were very underwhelming and he was the only kind of standout player. But they learned to play with him, I think, a little bit.
Yeah.
But it's going to take some time, I think, with that Egyptian side.
It's been a hallmark of this World Cup, actually, the idea that... that standout talismanic type players have made it actually more difficult for their teams than help them.
If you look at
Rooney's not here, Pete. He's not.
I know.
I mean, didn't make the squad. So
yeah, no. It was last time. That's what we've always had.
I'll tell you what.
It's good to enjoy the fishiness back in the room.
If Big Sam was a manager, Rooney would have been there.
Despite the penalty miss and so on, Ronaldo's four goals. He's been.
But generally speaking, if you look at Neymar's, but they found it difficult with Neymar. There's been one or two others as well. I suppose England and Portugal have. Having said that, Portugal weren't that great yesterday.
No,
they weren't. So I mean, there is a factor there, I think, and it's definitely been the same. The problem with Salah is, as you mentioned, Pete, he's had his injury. He's had a tumultuous month or two. He's this injury, losing the Champions League final, quite spectacular.
And he's played every possible match for Liverpool this season. Yeah. It's been a long season, a long campaign.
But what a season, though. At least he got a couple of World Cup goals. Consolation at best, but still.
It's great that he got a couple, for sure.
It's on the CV.
He should have had another, shouldn't he?
He was, Jim.
You'd bank him to score that chance he missed with a one-on-one with a goalkeeper. But
indeed you would. Let's look at today's fixtures in Group C, Australia versus Peru. The Aussies need a win, and for Denmark to lose.
Yes.
For the Australians to go through. There may be a goal difference permutation. I don't think there is, but they certainly need to win, and they certainly need Denmark to lose. And if the Australians manage that, it will be a remarkable achievement. It really, really will. Peru, of course, a bit like Morocco, they can put in a good performance and leave the tournament with their heads held high, because it's been bitterly disappointing for them, of course. But their fans will be out in force. And we shall look forward to that. Denmark versus France. A point is good for both sides. Will we see France playing with a little bit more freedom? They're already through.
Well, this is interesting, isn't it? Because, you know, Denmark, on paper at least, you would think would be the more stern test. And you think they're going to have to raise their game a little bit to get what they want out of this.
I think Denmark have been very poor.
I think they've been
fortunate to get 4 points. There's no way Peru should have lost that game. And Australia finished the better of the two sides in the game against them. So I'm concerned. If Australia can beat Peru, I'm pretty sure France will beat Denmark.
Well, France were much improved in their second game from their first game.
And wow, Giroud, mate.
And you'd imagine them to... I mean, it depends how they approach it. They'll probably... I doubt that Deschamps will rest a lot of players. It doesn't feel like a sort of manager who necessarily knows... that much about his best team to be able to rest players and sub players out for other players. I think he's still sort of scrabbling around a little bit. So they might well play their strongest team again.
Even though Denmark...
they should have enough to get past Denmark.
Even though Denmark are not facing Australia, because of course they've already played them, will they still fear Jedinak?
I think you always
even
do.
Though he's in another part of the country.
No, you're in the same group, though.
Yeah.
Don't think you forget that.
He's coming for us with his penalties. Yeah. But all attention on Group D, boys.
Yes.
This is a big one. Argentina v Nigeria.
Argentina are like an episode of Deadliest Catch. The captain's had an heart attack. The crabbing grounds are empty. Yeah. The quarters have been slashed. Yeah. And the greenhorns are revolting.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's insane out there.
Yeah.
I'm loving it.
I was trying to think.
And I can imagine Sam Pauli at some point being chucked out in the Bering Sea.
Yeah. Well, all the talk from that is that the players are now picking the team and like they're not even talking to him. They've locked him in a cupboard won't let him out.
Mascherano denied this. Obviously right. He will, but he came up with that.
El Diego came out and said, I will address them before the game if you want me to. And I think the answer came back, no thanks.
Yeah, exactly. We're over here, Diego. You're looking in the wrong way. Yeah. That is a fascinating one. I mean, a point might be okay for Nigeria. You wouldn't imagine that they would play for a point. Argentina seem to be there for the taking, but we shall certainly see. Iceland need a win. They're up against Croatia. Croatia already threw a course. Yeah. But again, with Nigeria, you know, Croatia, I mean, they look like they're going to top the group anyway.
It's like Mikel going to play with a cast, I heard, or something. Like, I don't know what part of his body's bust, but...
Well, not his leg.
I presume it's an arm, but like...
Neck brace?
That's going to be difficult for him, because he's about as talismanic as I guess for
he is, yeah. Team. There's talk of Sebastian Rudy playing for Germany with a mask on because he's broken his nose.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. I didn't hear about Mikel.
That's doable.
But... I maintain this. If Argentina qualify from this group, that's been the most underwhelming group qualification success I've ever seen in World Cup history. They're 8-11 to qualify out of the group. £10 with Bet365 returns £17.27, including stake, should they do so. The thing is, because they're Argentina, you think, first game they play Iceland. Well, they should have enough to get past Iceland. They don't.
A tricky opponent, as we know.
Against Croatia, you think, okay, Croatia are really good, but it's Argentina. Yeah. They get battered. And even now, I'm still finding myself almost subconsciously falling into the trap saying, they might have enough to get past Nigeria. But they're not playing like a team. They're not playing like a team.
I don't really base it on what I've seen from them, but it's exactly the same. You just feel like, surely this crisis will shock them into life and to display the talent they have.
Another example of the talismanic thing, Messi. They don't know how to play with Messi in the team. They don't know how to do it.
Yeah, that's the shining example of it.
Well,
really,
maybe they should use him as an impact sub.
Imagine that. Sam Pauli, if I'm going out shooting. Lionel, I could probably give you 10 minutes.
But imagine if you're like a Nigerian defender. Oh, for fuck. Yeah. Like 10 minutes from the end. Yeah. I'm knackered.
I'm sorry. It would be nothing short of magnificent if Sam Pauli went. All those rumours.
Didn't even bring him on. Didn't even bring him on.
I picked the team. Yeah. I'll tell you what, that's happening.
Lionel, you will be playing. Oh, good. At left back.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be.
He'd probably do a job.
Yeah, he probably would. He probably would. Yeah.
Marauding runs.
He'd be better at left back than he would be at right back.
Two great kits as well. On show. Slightly trite thing to say, but
classic.
I think this group is the best group for kits.
Possibly, yeah.
Undoubtedly. I think, Croatia is always going to be up there, isn't it, as having the best kit at the tournament. Mm-hmm. The Nigeria one's a classic. Argentina's is another classic.
Yeah.
Talk me through the Iceland one, Jim.
The Iceland one has got Icelandic players in it, and I don't know if you know, but there aren't really many Icelandic people.
They are
so
beautiful.
It being there at all is a magnificent
thing.
Pete
needs to stop retweeting Rick Gislason on social media.
Yeah, I
need
to do it more.
There's a picture of him, Pete, yesterday, standing in some sort of lake with his top off, and I'm pretty sure he's got eyeliner on. And you're retweeting it like it's the last tweet ever.
Didn't his Instagram followers like grow by something like 100,000 in like an hour?
I think it went from...
You mentioned it on this
the
show.
The power of sexiness.
I think it went from 60,000 to 300,000 overnight. Or
incredible.
Like
yeah. He's...
I wish our social media person was that good, eh?
Yeah. There's a middle finger. You're not studio.
You're in no way as good looking as that man.
Right, should we have a... He means you, not me.
The power of sexiness. Luke, what is our best bet with Bet365?
Yeah, it's time for another best bet. And I thought this time I'd have a bit of fun.
Yeah, the power of sexiness.
We're going to go for tomorrow's games. Mm-hmm. Neymar and Mitro to both score in Brazil v Serbia.
That's happening.
It's 6-1 with Bet365. £50 will return £350, including stake, if they both score at any time in 90 minutes. All proceeds go to Prostate Cancer UK. You must be over the age of 18 to gamble, and do gamble responsibly. For more information, go to begambleaware.org. Keep an eye out for that. Mitro to get one, Neymar to get one. Everyone would be happy, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
Not least Prostate Cancer UK, Pete.
You imagine that Brazil won't be indulging in such unnecessary roughness to Mitro.
They might do.
Well, they might do.
They might not be able to deal with him.
I don't think they will.
Yeah.
No. But there we are. Well, it's lovely having you back on the pod, Peter.
Thank you. For missing an important weekend of football.
No, I was really excited to have you back. Did the old PTs on the pod. And then you start talking about been streaming bit rates for 5 minutes. It's sort of brought me back down to earth again.
Technology in football, mate. Mm-hmm. So if you can't handle it because you're a granddad and you want to smash up the spinning jennies because you're a Luddite, it's not my fault, is it?
I'll stick my Dutch clog in the weaving machine.
Let's not talk about a Dutch clog.
No, not
all
today.
Right? Not at this stage
oven?
Of the tournament. No,
no,
Peter,
come on.
Remember the power of sexiness.
That's what the studio's like, a Dutch oven.
Thank you very much, good people, for listening to this World Cup Ramble sponsored by Bet365. We look forward to having you with us tomorrow. Say goodbye, Luke Moore.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Jim Campbell.
Goodbye.
It's nice to have you back, Peter. It really is. And you're looking... Go on, then. Say goodbye, Pete Donaldson.
London, goodbye.
Hi, I'm Kevin Keegan.
London, goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.